to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Kathy Converse. I serve as the treasurer. I'm on the board, finance, and program committees. Welcome to this beautiful morning and this opportunity to celebrate all of our differences, race, ethnicity, sexual orientations, gender identification, family structures, and religious backgrounds. We have no creed to which members must agree. We rely on our ethical principles to guide us. If you look at the visitor, if you look, the Union is on this side, and on the back are the principles, our seven principles that guide us. We are highlighting principle one today, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We welcome any guests, and we thank you for sharing your time with us. And if you, later in the service, we'll give you a time to introduce yourself and tell us how you arrived here, if you so choose. Opening words today are, it's difficult to be happy if you can't live your life as your authentic self. We light this chalice on the brink of a new year, letting go of what has been, open and hopeful for what may come. Renewed, restored, ready to live life fully anew. May we move forward with intention, by Lois Lear.
Also a joy for me to be here to introduce my friend Jim Bernard, who's going to be speaking to us today about one of the multiple creative aspects that I know about Jim and his life. You're going to get the photography side today, which I've been admiring on his website. But I got to know Jim a number of years ago. I think many of you know I host an open stage up in Barabuda bookstore there. And Jim became a friend through coming there and sharing his many original songs. I began to get this vision in my head of Jim sitting out on the porch at his rural Sauk County home, figuring out these little rhythmic, tuneful things that he does on the original songs on his guitar. And I really came to enjoy that. And Barbara particularly enjoyed that Jim always remembered that she liked the polka dot dress song. So,
good.
You're next.
And so Jim is a portrait photographer and artist. I've been to his studio on Atwood Avenue, and it's just got this magical display of people. And this is just one aspect of his work, which we have already viewed, and we are so excited to see it again. His photographs have been exhibited at such institutions as the Chazen Museum of Art, the Office of the Lieutenant Governor in the Wisconsin State Capitol, the Overture Center galleries, and other venues in Madison and beyond. His last book of portraits, Facing Dylan, Reimagining Bob Dylan Song Titles, was published in 2016. So what he did was take a Bob Dylan song, and then he would make a photograph depicting a scene that would have been from one of the songs. Very, very cool. He's a founding member of the Center for Photography in Madison. He maintains a portrait studio in Madison, photographing individuals and couples.
Welcome our friend.
So thank you, Catherine, for inviting me to share my photographic project with you. Barbara said, I'm a portrait photographer, and I enjoy photographing people because I like to bring out their spirit as well as their physical attributes, but it's really working with people and learning about them that is what I enjoy most. This project that I'm going to share with you today, I started just over 3 years ago, and it started because as Ron said, I have a musical interest, and one of my good friends is a lesbian, and I got very sympathetic and interested in her and her struggle as a non-conforming gender person. And I asked to photograph her, and there's one or two of her in here. So it started out as sort of a curiosity about photographing interesting people with interesting stories, but then I began to understand it really as a social justice issue. And that was the hook that really kind of motivated me throughout the project. So I am a portrait photographer And these are some of my portraits. I do headshots. I do musicians. I do families, and I enjoy working with people. I do kittens. You gotta do cats, right? So just as a background on me, this is what I generally do for people in my commercial work. I'm also a fine art photographer. I like to set up sets and staging to communicate more about the person than just the person itself. I like to have fun with it. I do some fashion as well. But this is what this is really about. And what I'm really sharing with you is some of the things that I've learned about gender. That gender starts at birth with your reproductive organs, but that's only the beginning, not the end of your gender. This was a National Geographic issue devoted solely to gender around the world from last year, or actually 2017. And some of the facts we know about gender is that your gender identity is a deeply felt sense of being male, female, or somewhere along the gender spectrum, and established by about age 3. You know, if you're female, do you see yourself as very girly? Do you like cosmetics? Or are you more comfortable on the soccer field? If you're a guy, are you more of a macho guy, or do you like cooking and art and design? And sort of where along the spectrum do you identify? And according to research, this happens about age 3. We kind of put ourselves somewhere along the spectrum. The second one is that children and teens whose gender is outside of traditional either-or gender categories are at high risk of suicide. Probably the highest percentage of teen suicide is gender-related. I mean, kids are trying to find their identity anyway, and this is loaded on top of that, and it's very distressing. They are also at risk of sexual assault, bullying, and teen homelessness. I gave this presentation at a West High group, GSA, called Gender Sexuality Alliance. It's a club that meets at lunchtime and discuss, it's kind of a support group, and they also discuss issues around their gender. And you see the look in these kids' faces that, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you're outside of the bell-shaped curve. 50% of millennials believe gender is on a spectrum and not an either-or. A typical brain has a mosaic of male and female traits. There's a lot of work being done in this area right now. There's a woman who is a professor at Tel Aviv University, and she's done MRI brain scans, and this is some of her research. The pink are female traits, the blue is male traits, and the white are neutral. And men and women have both. So we kind of, even though we may traditionally we have thought it's either or, it's really not. Facebook has 51 gender options for your profile. And I'll just go through some of the main terms. Cisgender is a person whose gender identity aligns with the sex assigned them at birth. Non-binary is someone who sees their gender as outside of the either or two-gender system, or gender queer sometimes. Gender fluid are people that kind of don't drop anchor at any place on the spectrum, and depending on the day, depending on how they're feeling, they can express themselves anywhere along the gender spectrum. Transgender, someone that's different than cultural expectations based on the sex assigned them at birth. They may have surgery to change their gender, so on the outside they feel like they are on their inside. And an agender is someone who doesn't identify as any gender or gender free. Also, I found that 11 countries now allow you to designate a third gender on your passport. You can check other, male, female, or other. United States is not one of them. Far from it. So I made this little chart to display what I've learned about gender. And there's really four components. First, your physical gender, which is your anatomy. Secondly, your gender identity, how you see yourself. Third is gender expression, how you express yourself, how you dress, how you talk, how you present yourself to others. And the fourth one is who you're attracted to, your sexuality. And the thing about this is that they're all independent. And just because you fall on one side or the other on any one of these continuums doesn't mean that you're going to fall on the same place in the continuum on the other components. And I have photographs sort of showing this, and this was... So these are not my photographs. So we got Hercules on the left, I'll call him, and Venus on the right. So they're kind of extremes of physical gender. So the male on the left, you can tell his body type. He's more triangular shape, muscular, facial hair, generally more competitive, more aggressive. Those are kind of the extreme male traits. Venus on the right, more of an hourglass, kind of feminine shape, softer skin, more empathetic traditionally. And so these are kind of extremes of gender that none of us probably are. But and then secondly, gender identity, how you see yourself. So regardless of your physical gender, how you see yourself is the second component. And I have some examples here. James here on the left, I photographed him. He works on his car. He likes sports. He's very competitive. He has kind of those chiseled features, a lot of testosterone. So he's your, what you call a cisgender male. He wants to be a man. Allegra on the right, she's very feminine. You can see she has beautifully manicured eyebrows. She likes makeup. She likes fashion. So she's a cisgender female. Jerome here, he sees himself as very masculine physically, but he's very gay. He's attracted to men. But yet physically he's very much on the male continuum. This is Ryan, a very creative person. He's male, but he identifies more as female and expresses himself more as female. He has a wonderful sense of style. He's a very he's just a very warm human being. And I'm going to talk a little bit about in a moment why people are dressed the way they are or how that came about. it's really a collaboration. So here's Shannon. She's a musical friend that I know. She expresses herself. She's a female. She's a lesbian. She expresses herself as very male. She played football in high school. She likes to hit. She also likes to sew. She made the clothes, including the boots that she's wearing. She kind of starts with something and then modifies them. I said, so Shannon, so she said she wanted to show her very male side. And I said, well, you know, get any of that hair gel, a little comb, kind of flip your hair up in the front, you know, like men do. And she says, well, I would, but I don't have a comb. This is Victoria. She is more fluid. Obviously, she's very, very feminine, very, very pretty hair, very good at makeup. But this is also Victoria. She's very competitive. She ran the high hurdles and track in high school. And so this is her more masculine side. So it's almost like clothes. What do you feel like wearing today? It's like, how do I feel I want to express myself today? This is Brandon. He is a part Native American. He goes now by Youngblood. He is more gender fluid. This is a very male kind of GQ look that he's showing me for this photograph. And here's 30 seconds later, a very feminine pose. His hands are very expressive. His body language is very feminine. So he's either. This is a more of a feminine, dramatic pose. I want to talk a little bit about my process. As I said, I started with my friend Shannon, but then I put a small ad on Craigslist saying, fine art photographer looking for androgynous looking individuals for a future project and a gender project and a book. And I got quite a bit of response. And so what I did is I first met with the person. I had coffee for probably 2 hours. And I wanted to find out who they were, what their important issues were, what they would like to portray. You know, me as a straight male, you know, tell me more about what it's like to be you. And like I say, social justice came up a lot, being able to be who you are in everyday life. And then I also asked them to send me selfies with wearing clothes that expressed their identity, that they felt comfortable in, that they felt who they were. And so they sent me selfies, and then we kind of collaborated on what the shots were going to be. And that was a very fun part for me. I mean, all these shots, I mean, yes, I took the photos and I made the sets, but the content of them was really a collaboration between my subject and myself. This is August. She was one of my first subjects. This actually is a man that's trapped in a woman's body. He was kicked out of the house as a teenager because his dad wouldn't call him a he. And you can understand, you know, a dad losing his little girl. But she just hates, she's just in the wrong body. Or he, yes, I'm sorry. So he, you can see he takes testosterone. He's got some chest hair. So like when you get out of the shower, at least what you see in the mirror reflects more about who you really are. I try to get some photos of kind of the emotion of being female on the outside, but really being a man. This is Bryce. She identifies as a woman, but she's intersex. For those of you that don't know, it's a condition where you have both a vagina and a penis in some configuration. And she's very comfortable with her body because that's the way she's always been. Decades past, doctors would do surgery, and a doctor would decide which you're going to be, with very bad results, still do. Okay. Still bad results, I bet. Yeah. She's a cancer researcher, and she works on the Zika virus, finding out why, when you get Zika, the placenta takes the virus and prevents the parent, the mother, from getting the virus. This is Jess, who is a transgender person, born a man, now a woman, 6'2". She's a cancer researcher at UW. I love the red shoes. I said, we got to do something with the red shoes. And so we did. Really, really great person. And then she says when she goes out at night, this is a part of our conversation, she likes dressing punk when she parties. So I have one of her. So this is her. So that's her her daddy. I know you guys just had your Charleston party, but so this is how she goes out, maybe. And then I don't know how many of you have heard about the two-spirited. It's a term in Native American culture for individuals possessing both genders. Two-spirited people, and there's some actual photographs here, they were revered. They held a place of honor in the Native American tribes because they were gifted with the ability to see things from both the male and the female perspective. They were kind of the balance keepers between the dusk of the male morning and the female evening. And this is an illustration of a tribe celebrating a two-spirited individual and welcoming them to their tribe. So here's Brandon. He's part Native American, and he would be two-spirited. So when I first had coffee with him, he looked like this and said, you know, I can become a woman. And I said, really? He said, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. He said, I'm both. So he comes in the studio like this with his beard, and he says, well, would you photograph me with my beard? Because being Native American, I don't have a lot of facial hair. And it took me 8 months to grow this. So can I get a picture of me with my facial hair just to prove I could do it? I said, well, sure. So he comes in like this. And then he shaves off his beard. He's very good looking. So he's kind of dramatic, too. He's very, very... Very expressive hands as well. And this is kind of him being dramatic. And then some of his other poses without his beard, and then he's sort of dressing with a tank top. One more. And then I have a lot of fabric in my shop for backdrops, and I just gave him, I said, well, try this and do something. So he got very, very theatrical. And now this is him dressed as a woman. And he did his own makeup. Those are his own clothes. He still identifies as a man, but likes to also express himself as a woman. And these are his, this is his aunt's fur jacket and one of his other, maybe his mother's dress. So it kind of relates to his family. So that's very important to him as well. So the third component is gender expression, is how you express yourself, which is, like as I said, independent of the first two. So this is Kai. She's a grant writer. She's also president of her condominium association. And in our conversation, she said, well, you know, some days I wear a little black dress, and some days I wear a suit. It depends on the day. So I said, okay, well, we got to shoot you in both. So, and she also came in with kind of that asymmetrical haircut, kind of short on one side and longer on the other. And so the opening photograph, this is, I took two photos and then seamed them together in Photoshop, which I don't do a lot of. But looks like a completely different person, but it's two expressions from one person. This is Lauren. She's a preschool teacher. Interesting. I was trying to get a range of expressions, and I said, Lauren, look angry. I just get because she's like look too nice. and so she like tried to twist up her face, and she said, I don't get angry. I can't look that way. And she was like a total failure. I mean, so this is like really who she is. She's a wonderful person. So she says, I dressed as a, I went to a madman party and I dressed as a madman guy. So that's her more expressing as a male. She was really great. This is Andrea, and this is a concept shot in our discussion. She said, well, you know, I am female. I have more of a male body type, but sometimes I wonder, you know, I kind of am on the fence. I'm looking at both, and so I set up this window and lighting in my studio as kind of a concept. So it's like she's looking at the other side as well. This is just kind of an aside, but I was really taken by it. She came to me. She was a friend of someone that's a metal worker in my studio, and she said, "Would you photograph me nude?" And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Because I'm 33 years old now, and my whole life, you see all the images of women in the media and how you're supposed to look, and I was trying to look like that, And I thought I could, you know, look like that, but I'm not. And so she said, for self-acceptance, I want a picture of, this is how I really look. And I'm not showing it today, but I have the same picture with her nothing on. And she left feeling very empowered, saying that this is who I am and I accept who I am. And it was kind of the final nail in the coffin about trying to look a certain way. But that's an aside. And this was another concept shot with Jerome. It's kind of like, I am masculine, but I'm kind of wondering about what it's like to be feminine. So it's kind of unknown or kind of an exploration. That's the top half of my mannequin in my studio that I use for coming up with lighting schemes. This is Alice. Alice is gender free. And we had a very interesting talk. She says, if you wake up in the morning and don't think of yourself as either male or female, you're much more liberated. Your thinking is much broader. And it's very subtle. It's like, you know, you think, well, you know, if I'm a man, it's like, well, you know, men don't do that. Or if you're a woman, you say, well, you know, women, they don't do that. But then I got to thinking, you know, when I first moved to Madison in 1980, I was looking for a job. In the Capital Times, they had help wanted men, help wanted women. And, you know, the women was, you know, nurses and teachers and daycare, you know, and men were, you know, it's like, you're putting yourself in a box, and kind of gender does that as well. So she said, when you wake up in the morning and are agender, you're much more creative. You know, as creative people, we like to think outside the box. Well, you know, gender is a box. you know, not to discard it, but just to realize it. Okay, well, so this is kind of her feminine side. That's her masculine side. She looks both. And so that's how she is together. This next one is not really on this topic, but I'm going to show it to you because I admire her courage. You know, because of her size, most people, you know, wear baggy clothes and don't want to see who I am. Well, I mean, I really admire her courage for showing, for asking me to photograph her how she is. This is Sarah, female, but identifies very much as male. She's a farmer. So she's a chicken farmer in Mazamani. She does dress as a female sometimes as well. She does go by she. Yes. Now, Z, on the other hand, is also a farmer and goes by they, which is kind of an inadequacy of our language. It's kind of weird. Not weird, but it's a little strange calling the person they because it's plural. So we really need a pronoun. You know, you don't want to use it, but there isn't a non-gender specific pronoun. So anyway, Z goes by they, and they wear dresses sometimes, and almost always wears a skirt. the only problem that they have is finding shoes because they're, you know, 6 feet and large. But he's very much of a trans. They are pretty much of a transgender rights advocate for the social justice issues that I've been talking about. They're very active in the Madison community. A good person to get to know. This is another photo of them. Very confident in who they are. You know, and they're trying to help others get to the place where they are. Sarah, this is Lauren. She identifies as female, but has a very good friend committed suicide because of gender issues, and so I was very sympathetic to the issue. Also dressed more as a male with contouring makeup. Here's Shannon again, in her Boy Scout uniform with the badges and the boots, and very proud. Here's another look. I love the hat, but whatever you ask, the answer is no. This is Ryan. He was the gay man that I showed earlier. Of all the people I've photographed, he has more style than any woman that I've run into. These are all his dresses. This is all his outfits. He's just an awesome person. He just looks fabulous. Again, this rabbit skin leather jacket was his someone in his family, his aunts or something. This is a deer skull that he found on his property in Spring Green. He lives with his partner. And, you know, some people collect china and other knickknacks to display around. Well, he collects animal skulls, vertebrae, bones, and he processes them through some ammonia and cleansing chemicals and displays them around his house. And so he brought that along. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek. It's like, okay, let's do your macho working out, okay? Come on, show me your, you know. So it was like, you know, we really had fun with it. You know, he's so secure in his identity to do something like this. He's wonderful. This is Andrea again, and some of her expressions. This is Rory. This is Renee. She was a Madison police officer for some years, and then got out of it because she just the violence and the sadness that she saw every day, it just got to her, and she just was unhappy. So now she works in the City of Madison Housing Department, finding homeless people housing. And she came, and you know, as we talked, I said, well, first of all, I see your tattoos, and they all mean things. There's her mom, who's very accepting, and her dad, who is not accepting. And she said, well, you know, I work out and I got a really muscular back. I said, okay, well, we got to get your back. So there's your back. This is Mickey, very anxious person, very smart. She works at Epic. But gender is always there. It's an issue. And, you know, all of her photographs, she just looked very, very anxious. And so, but she was very happy to present herself. So this is more of a male presentation. And then she said, you know, sometimes when I get up in the morning and go to work, I'm just so anxious about it, I just want to cover my face. I said, okay, well, let's get that. So that's how she feels going out into the world sometimes. So then the last component of the sexuality, who you're attracted to, and this is not a choice. I mean, none of these are really a choice. You know, you have to accept what's real. One thing that was really kind of the light bulb went on for me is that, you know, you think of let's say someone was born a male up on the top, and then has surgery to become a female, and then ends up marrying a female. And you say, well, you know, if you like women, why didn't you just stay a man? Well, this is why. Because they're independent. They really have nothing to do with each other. So this is Shannon and Dana, her partner. This is Rain and Chloe. This was kind of a Halloween one. She was kind of being a vampire. So there's other ones of them just kissing regular, but I thought this was pretty dramatic. And this is Renee and her partner Michelle. When I interviewed Renee, she said about her partner, and she said they were one of the first same-sex couples in Wisconsin to be married since the law was changed. And so they've been married a long, I don't know how many years it is, but some of you probably know when the law has changed. So I said, well, how about Michelle? Would she come along too? And she said, well, I'll ask her. And she did. And we got some really, really wonderful photographs. And this is more of a fine art shot that I did of them. The people that approached me, that replied to my ad, were all in this middle, younger to middle age group. But there is a deficit in age range. And I don't know if people, you know, my age are, I don't know if it's a generational thing, or but I certainly would like to find people that are representative of the older spectrum and to get their stories as well. But so I wish there was. I mean, it is more fear of the unknown. You know, is someone that's not like me a sexual predator? Are they violent? Do they have radical thoughts? But once you see that people are people, I mean, people are people. These things don't matter. I mean, some of the people like it's like saying, well, what gender are you, or what's your sexual preference? The answer is, well, why do you ask? It's like you know, you come up to someone and say, well, what kind of toothpaste do you use? It's like, why? So it's once you see that people are different, but we're all the same, is where we need to go, I guess. Yeah, you kind of realize how gender-specific terminology has seeped into all of our language. It's like the cause of all our problems is the Dewey Decimal System, I think, where everything has a category, but it's not, reality isn't really like that. Yeah, it's very ingrained in our culture, and we have not been sensitive to people that do not identify as one end or the other. It's just.
Our closing words for today are, everyone has a right to be accepted for who they are. Simple words to take home. Please stay, have coffee, talk with others. And if anyone has additional questions, Jim said he would be willing to answer more questions. Say hi to your neighbor.